I'm recording.
As am I, and we are good. All right, hello.
Hello.
What's up?
How you doing? I'm just going to get this out of the way right now. Oh, man, it's on silent.
It wouldn't be right if it wasn't on silent.
Okay, ready? Okay, I did it.
Woo!
I just wanted to test that. Yeah, one day I hope that I will just nail that first go, and I won't and I won't make a fool of myself every time I want to make the reggae horn noise.
I look forward to that day.
I feel one day you'll be so proud of me. I'll just get it, and you'll be like, "That there is no need for further podcasts."
Yeah. But well, I was going to say, when that day comes, I'll add a new thing so that, you know, you've mastered one. Now you move on.
What could I possibly progress to?
Maybe a foot pedal, and it activates some other sound.
Oh man, the mind just boggles.
You see, and then you could have something on your lip. It's because it's the drummer in me. I want to activate all your limbs.
You know, sometimes when I'm listening to music, I like try and pretend I'm drumming to it.
Yeah.
And within about 1 second, I realize that I'm the most uncoordinated person on earth, and I couldn't even do things with two hands, let alone like 2 feet and 2 hands, but multiple drums. I don't know how drummers do it. I really don't. It's incredible.
I guess it's muscle memory, and it's once you've got a few rhythms, you know, I don't know, then it's easy to build on them. But I know what you mean, because as soon as I pretend to like air guitar to a song, I just go, I have no idea what I'm doing here. I'm just...
Can you sing and play the guitar at the same time?
Well, I can barely play guitar, so
okay.
But I could sing and play the drums at the same time, though. So,
oh man, that must be really hard too.
I think I have the ability in me, you know.
Yeah,
if I practiced.
Well, that's kind of boring, and who has time for that?
Not us. We are obviously just too busy.
So busy and so important.
Hey mate, what did you do on the weekend?
I had one wedding in the Southern Highlands, which was good, and it was my last wedding of 2016. It was number 64, I think, and I'm officially on holidays, so that is so good. Like, I'm so
good
happy.
One.
I really, really need a break.
How's your queue?
My queue's at 8.5, the half meaning I'm halfway through editing a wedding. So the queue, that's pretty serious queue for me. Like, old me would have said that's a worrying queue, but
okay.
New me is so good at editing really quickly that that's no problem. So I'll get it done. It's none of them are overdue. In fact, one is due, I think, today, which I'll finish today. So that's, you know, it's no biggie.
Cool.
What's your queue at?
I'm up to date.
You're up
to
date, right?
Yeah, my last wedding was last weekend, and that was down in Kangaroo Valley.
Nice.
And then I just sat down for like 4 straight days because my wife was in New Zealand and she was coming back to Australia. And I'm in Australia, so I thought, well, I'm waiting for her. I just went crazy, just
smash them
all my weddings. Yeah, so I haven't delivered all of those. You know, I've done the 99% is kind of you do the cull and then the edit, and then I often just take a break. Like, I'll step away from a wedding for up to a week, and then come back to it with like fresh eyes. I often do a quick scan. Like, I just go bang, 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 quick scan through. If I see one photo that obviously the color wasn't quite right or the exposure, just quickly tweak. So all I've got to do is that for one wedding in like a few days, and then I'm all done.
But, you know, there's another reason I think that what you're doing is a good idea, and that's this concept of perceived value. And I don't want to at all imply that we're somehow providing less value than maybe people think we do. But I find some photographers, I know they'll shoot the wedding, cull it, edit it super quickly and deliver it within like 5 days. And I don't know, I kind of feel that if I was a bride, I would like to have a bit of time to wait and, you know, look forward to receiving these photos. And also, like, let's say you wait a month or so, the memories, unfortunately, they'll start to fade a little. And as the memories fade, the excitement about seeing the photos will build. And I feel if they are delivered so too quickly, it's like, I don't know, it's all over so fast. And the wedding itself is over so fast. So I reckon that waiting a bit is a really good idea, even if you finish it really quickly. Like if I finished in a week, I would wait 3 more weeks before delivering, just because I think that's like, that gives the bride and groom a time to kind of calm down, think about things, do their honeymoon, settle back into routine, and then really start to look forward to seeing the photos, you know?
Sure.
Am I crazy, or is that...
No, I don't think you're crazy at all. I go by... I have 2 weeks is very quick for me. You know, lately I've been delivering them in 2 weeks because they've been done, and because I'm traveling, when I get a good internet connection or when I'm just upload. You know, I just do it. And then they're sitting there and I think, oh, who cares? I'll just send them through. But one thing that I've realized is that a lot can change in 2 weeks. So let's say you shoot the wedding, you finished in a week, hypothetically, and then you deliver them straight away.
Mm.
2 weeks from then, you might discover a new filter, or you might just tweak something, and then you go, oh man, like I wish I had waited.
Yeah.
So I think if you say in your contract, or you know the way you want to work is, say you're going to deliver them in 3 to 4 weeks, I think it's okay to be consistent, because you want to allow for, you want to give yourself a bit of like creative space.
It is true about the things changing too. Like I've had circumstances where I've delivered really early and then a week later I've been like, oh man, I've totally forgot about this or that, or I forgot to do this, and then I have to go back in and tweak this and re-upload it, which is a bit silly. So
there's nothing worse than sending everything away and then being like, oh, and having to send that little follow-up email saying, hey
P.S.
Sorry. Hey,
can I tell you a story?
Mm.
This is not a red panda because you did not just tell me a story, which I'm about to one up. I just wanted to
clarify. Okay, I'll be taking notes and judging this on a score.
I'd expect nothing.
How red panda it is. No, go on. That's fine.
I did this wedding, I don't know, 2 months ago. It was a little elopement down the South Coast. And the day after the wedding, I uploaded to Facebook one of my favorite photos, which is the bride and groom standing on this beach, and I was standing on a really big boulder, kind of, I would say 2 meters this side of them. And the shot was me looking down towards them, and you could see them, and then you could see to the left of them the beach, and to the left of the beach the water kind of lapping up towards them. Mm-hmm. And you could clearly see the outline of the water. The problem was the sun was behind me. And in the moment when I shot it, I kind of didn't pay enough attention to my shadow, and I downloaded the photos and my shadow was in the shot.
Right.
Which sucks. So I spent not that long. It took 10 minutes or so to Photoshop my shadow to sort of smooth out the sand. It was just on the sand. So I got rid of my shadow, posted it on Facebook, tagged them. They loved it. It was a great, it was very well received. Then I don't know if you, I'm sure you know, when you're using Lightroom and you want to edit a photo in Photoshop, it will, I think it transfers a TIFF file to Photoshop. Is that right? Yep. And then you edit the photo in Photoshop and then you save it. It saves back to Lightroom, but the TIFF file saves to wherever the RAWs are at that moment. So like if you're working off a certain external hard drive where the RAWs are, the TIFF will save there. So then because I think I was staying at a hotel and I had the RAWs on a particular external hard drive, when I came to edit the wedding fully, I have no idea where that TIFF file was. Like it was on one of the hard drives that I have and I didn't even think about going back to find it. When I got to that set of images, I was like, ugh, I have to re-edit my shadow out of this like 5 or 6 images, which is going to be pretty time consuming. And then I thought like, ding, instead of doing that, I'll just crop them. Because the part that I had to edit was a very small part of the frame. So I cropped the images in, thereby getting rid of my shadow and avoiding having to Photoshop 5 or 6 images. No worries. Okay. So
I'm waiting for the however.
Well, deliver the images. Neck minute. Get an email from the bride. And she's an awesome girl and she was not at all frustrated. She's like, oh, hey, we noticed in the photos that you sent us, the one photo that you posted on Facebook where we could see the water lapping at the edge was not there. We really love that photo. Can we please have it? And I was like, damn it. That means I have to go back and Photoshop my shadow. So I that's an example of what you're saying. Is like if I had taken a little bit more time just doing that Photoshop in the first place, I wouldn't have then had to go back and be like, oh yeah, sorry. And I told her, I was like, oh, I was sorry, I didn't think you'd notice, and it was just a little bit of a crop, and it was easier than doing a Photoshop job, and was less time consuming. Anyway, I did it, and I sent it to her, and she was happy. But
yeah, there
you go. Don't cut corners.
There you go. Do you remember I showed you when I was staying at your place? I did a wedding in Russell in New Zealand a couple of weeks ago, and there was a curtain on one side, and
masterful.
Yeah. So, to explain, she was in front of a window, inside, in front of a window, and there was a curtain on the right and a matching curtain on the left. But next to the curtain on the left was a huge, big, ugly air conditioning machine.
Yeah,
and
so ugly.
All this stuff. So I went to Photoshop, copied the right-hand curtain and flipped it and put it on the left. So I've got this perfect symmetrical. And I did put that on Facebook, just like you.
Mm.
I mean, sure enough, I'm going back editing, and then I was like, oh man, I took seven photos there. But I did. I just diligently went through and copied.
Wow, you
paste,
did. Well done.
Flip. Yeah, I did it all.
That's good.
The only thing worse than that is when you do that and then you get like 99% of the way through and then you realize this was a bad idea and you just delete it and you just spent half an hour.
They'll never know. Hey, I didn't ask you how your weekend was. How was your weekend?
Oh, mine was great because I'm done for the year. So, my wife and I were staying at some friend's place up in North Sydney. They have, their names are Ben and Heidi. They are from New Zealand and they've gone home for Christmas. So we kind of got a good deal and we're staying at their place, which is really nice.
Whereabouts in North Sydney? Is it actually in North Sydney or is it sort of up on one of the beaches?
It's like the train right there that I'm looking at. They must have fantastic glazing here because you just can't really hear them.
Oh, it's really quiet, is it?
Yeah, except for when the screechy brakes go on.
Yeah.
Can you hear that?
Oh, I cannot hear a thing. Is it happening?
Oh, okay,
now?
Cool. They're very close to Lavender Bay. It's it's like the North Sydney
that
train
place
station.
Is nice.
Yeah, it's really, really nice.
I think there's some wedding venues at Lavender Bay. What's the name of that? There's one that I've shot at.
Is it the Secret Garden?
Is that one?
Yeah, there's this place called Wendy's Secret Garden, and I actually shot one there earlier in the year. But there are a few spots around. Are you looking it up?
Oh yeah, there's it's near Mossman. Yeah, Secret Garden. I see. Now there's a few venues that I've shot at there that are really, really lovely. Lavender Bay. I'm just trying to refresh my memory as to exactly. It's across the bridge, right?
It's just over the bridge. Yeah.
Oh man, that's a nice apartment. There's a really cool little place there near Luna Park. It's a little garden. Actually, I think it's called the Lavender Garden.
Oh, okay.
Which you should go have a look at, have a walk all at. Right. It's really nice.
Deal. We were thinking today we might walk across the bridge into Sydney and just sort of, you know, walk around, do whatever, do a bit of an explore.
Oh, that sounds good. Just avoid. Oh, it shouldn't be too bad today. What is it? Saturday, Sunday? Oh, yeah. It'll be pretty bad. Lots of tourists. But that's all right.
what were you going to say? Avoid what?
I was going to say avoid the tourists, but then I was like, what are you going to do?
I'll just join them.
Are a tourist.
I am a tourist, yeah.
You embrace it.
Nice. Yeah, so no, I'm my next wedding is not until the 15th of January, so I've got a sweet like month off. And
how good
last year, I would be freaking out because, you know, this is like prime time for us. But because of my sort of relocation to Australia and my back and forth, it meant that I kind of missed out on this summer, like the peak period. But I'm super, super busy from February all the way through till May, like every weekend I've got a wedding. So I'm just going to take a nice holiday and enjoy it because next year I'll just be crazy.
Good, man.
So it's good.
Enjoy it.
So what are we gonna talk about today, Thomas?
Yeah, look, the honest truth is I'm not sure.
Well, how about your cats.
No, there's we discussed two things we could potentially talk about before. Well, the first one was you made a good suggestion. USBs.
Yeah, I think it's worth bringing that up. I think when we first started podcasting, it was right around that time when we made this decision. But it was a bit fresh then, and I think now we can give some good feedback on how it's gone. Because
am I right that I personally I was hesitant until I made the decision, And I should explain the decision, which was...
Okay, yeah, you tell the story.
Okay. So in very simple terms, up until very recently, we'd been delivering our high-res images via USB, as I'm sure, I don't know, 95%.
I don't think you and I had ever sat down and talked about how we deliver our images. You know, we...
Nope.
Right? I had no idea really what you were doing until we talked.
I'm sure that was the case. So it's funny that we both kind of came to this, I guess, concept or idea at the same time, but never having discussed it together. And yeah, we both kind of got to the point where we were a bit sick of delivering USBs. I'll let you, I don't know what your reasons were exactly, but my reasons were the following. First of all, and this is a very selfish reason, but so I love taking photos. I love editing photos. I love dealing with people. I love that side of what I do. And I like sitting at the computer and doing techie, like, you know, Photoshop stuff, but I hate the procedural elements of, for example, ordering the USBs, they arrive, put the USB in the computer, export the correct size file, put it on the USB, take the USB out. It's slow because it's USB 2, because USB 3 is just too expensive. You know, packaging them up, ordering prints, because you don't just want to send like a one USB, you want to send it with something to make it look pretty. Packaging it up, putting whatever, brown paper, putting twine or whatever.
Potpourri, putting some potpourri in there.
Yeah, potpourri, some like dried lavender and stuff. Literally all spraying it with perfume so it smells nice. But I know some people, like some photographers, love this end of it, but yeah. I hate it. Okay, so there's number one. Number two, I have been having a lot of issues with USBs failing. People are saying, oh, the USB doesn't work in this TV, in this computer. Yeah, and printers, I guess it's partially because ultimately they're probably cheap USBs, even though we get them from nice suppliers. They're probably just cheap USBs from China or whatever that aren't very reliable. And number three, people would lose them. And so 6 months later, oh, I've lost my USB. Can you send me another one? Number four, they're expensive. They're like, I don't know what, I'm going to just pull out a number. I'm pretty sure they were between about $9 and $12 per USB or maybe even a little more depending on how many.
And those ones are boring, like either very boring or very ugly, like looking nice one that you could put your branding on and all that. You could pay big bucks.
Well, I actually had those little wooden ones or bamboo ones with my little elephant logo. But then even I've been using those for about 3 or 4 years, but even now it's like, every time I see a photographer that delivers USBs, they've got these wooden ones with their logo, and it's like, far out. What used to be a little bit individual is now very common. Mm-hmm. So those are my reasons. Oh, and the other reason is I never have anything lost in the post, but I think that is an issue. My logic is the faster I can get these images to my bride and groom, the less chance of something happening is. So the faster I edit them, the faster I upload them, really, the safer they're going to be, much safer than in the post. So ultimately, the decision was made that I would deliver my high-res images via an online gallery, and they can download from there. And what were your reasons for coming to this decision?
For me personally, yeah, just like you, I couldn't stand the twine, the paper. And I also used to send some printed images with the USB just as a little extra bonus, because I kind of saw that other photographers were doing that. And so then I would have to export my images and send them, you know, get them printed and have those sent to me. In New Zealand, where we live, we don't receive post. We have to have a PO box, so I've got to sort that out. And it was just too many steps, and I kind of felt like, look, I finished the wedding, I finished the edit, everything's done. Now I have this uphill battle just to get them the images, just to sort of move on. And I was ready, I was totally ready, but then I just thought, is it professional? Will it appear like less service, less value if I'm just giving the digital files? But I've been using SmugMug since I started my business. And SmugMug is so good when it comes to delivering the album. It's just one click and the whole album gets downloaded. It's really good. So I've always had the option. I just wasn't doing it. Okay. I will just add one more thing. When the new Macs came out with USB-C and no USB-A port, which is the old school USB,
yeah,
to me it was like, okay, it's time to do away with USB. Like, that's not, the future is not USB.
No, you're absolutely
the future,
right.
And the future is downloads.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So we're kind of kidding. The only reason for holding on to the USB is because it's that kind of physical thing you can, a bride or a groom, they can put it in their hand, they can look at it, they can, it's a matter for them to have from us. But okay, so anyway, let's move on. We made the decision. Tell me, Tom, what are your thoughts now, and have you had any feedback from brides? Where are we at?
Oh, mate, so you know what's that movie where that guy gets that thing tattooed across his chest and it says no regrets? Have you seen that?
No regrets.
Yeah, yeah. I got no regrets, Greg. I got no.
Yeah, good.
But now it's gonna bug me what that movie is. No regrets. No regrets tattoo. That movie was Where the Millers. So Greg's like, okay, that's great.
Do I know that movie? Where the Millers? What happens in that?
Dude gets no regrets tattooed on his chest.
Oh, right.
I don't know. Something happens. I think it's got like, has it got Jennifer Aniston in it? I don't know.
Okay,
it's pretty funny. Anyway,
wait, did they go across the border?
Yeah, that something like that. And they do like
Mexico,
some road trip. Yeah, that's
bus.
Right. That's right. And this, the no regrets dude likes the dude's daughter, and he's a bit of a, I don't know, hillbilly. He's pretty cool though. So, yeah, I was worried that I didn't want to take away that part of sort of the happiness of the procedure from a bride, because I know it's awesome to receive stuff in the mail. So I was like hesitant, but yeah, I've not had anyone say, oh, that's sad. I've had one person out of say 20 so far say, oh, we really want the USB still. Cause in my email, when I deliver, I say, if you want them on a USB, that's fine. I can send you one. Just let me know. And one person has said that. The rest of them have been like, oh, that's awesome. I just get to download them straight away. I get them faster. And also, I have them in the gallery for 12 months. So not only can they like give the password out to whoever they want and they can just view the images online, but if they need to download them on multiple machines in 6 months' time, if they lose them in 8 months, whatever, they can re-download them. So I've got no regrets.
Good job.
Fantastic. And I definitely don't think that it's affected my bookings at all. Because one thing at one point I was like, oh, would it, you know, is it an issue that might affect, you know, potential clients? They're like, oh, you don't do USBs. Of course, that's ridiculous. It's not at all. So no regrets.
Yeah. No, you? I feel exactly the same way.
Same?
Yeah, same. I've had maybe one bride say, oh, she just wasn't quite sure how to do it, like how to download them.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay.
And then she said, oh, but she just had to read the email properly and it was fine.
That helps in life, actually, reading instructions properly.
Reading the instructions.
Like, I don't know how to put together this IKEA cabinet. Oh, wait, read the instructions. Actually, that's a bad example because it's still very hard.
All good. Really, really good. There was one thing I was going to say, and I've completely forgotten what it was. It was to do with
cats.
Those. It's probably a lot to do with cats.
Man, how good are cats?
They're pretty great.
Never going to cats. We had an interesting scenario last night where we were just in the house at about 11 and we heard this like really odd noise from the front lawn. Was it last night? I think it was the night before. Anyway, we were like, uh-oh, that's like an animal in pain. So we went out to the front lawn and there's this beautiful little like Rosella that has been severely injured by one of our cats, or actually a cat. I don't know if it's one of our cats, but really, really not in a good state. And so we had to, unfortunately, Michelle is very, very strong in this regard, and she actually had to put it down, which is very sad.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That's, you got to do these things.
Look, it was not going to recover. It was not in a good place. Oh. Little Brady.
Well, that's very sad. You grow as a person when you have to do that kind of stuff.
Brought this conversation down to a very low level. Yeah, sorry.
You did. That's okay.
On the positive, it's almost Christmas. Woo!
Yeah. Hey, that's cool. And I think I'm seeing you for Christmas.
Yes, we're going to be eating and drinking wine. And you know what I was thinking, Greg? I think I might have told you, we should do a boozy 25th like Christmas Day podcast.
Should we do like, should we have some eggnog and what do you have, like some sort of
wine,
rum infused cakes?
Oh man, yes. But you don't like fruit cakes, do you? Is that you?
Yeah, I hate raisins and anything.
This podcast is over.
Hey, what? So you're a big raisin guy.
What is eggnog? Because I don't know.
Oh, well, I'm not really a huge eggnog like connoisseur, but I'm pretty sure.
Has it got egg in it?
It's got, I'll tell you one thing I know. It's got egg in it.
Has it got nog in it? And nog. Is nog an acronym? Not for, only grapes.
Gin, yeah.
It's got eggs, no,
it's,
not
it's
only
just,
grapes.
I'm pretty sure it's rum or brandy or some sort of, you know.
With egg?
Christmassy. Yeah, with egg.
That is disgusting.
No.
Is it nice?
It's the well. I haven't really had that much of it. But I'm saying we should have some.
I wonder if we can get some.
I think you just make it. You go online into the Google.com and it will tell you how to do it.
Game on, Campbell. Eggnog recipe. All right. Hang on. Ready? Okay. Milk, cloves, vanilla, cinnamon. So you heat that for 5 minutes. Then in a large bowl, combine egg yolk and sugar. And you whisk it until it's fluffy. Oh, okay. So, yeah. Then you stir in rum, cream. Oh, you refrigerate it. So it's like a thick, it's not like a full, total liquidy. It's like a thick sort of thing.
It's kind of like a smoothie with rum.
Look, that still sounds really disgusting, but let's totally try it.
I'll have it.
Wow.
We'll smash some of that.
You destroy it.
Yeah, okay. That sounds good. That sounds really good. We'll do a... So that's actually... Oh, did you know that Christmas is a week away?
Oh, man. It's actually... Wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow, I just do. So this time next week, we'll be drinking eggnog and podcasting.
We'll be drinking eggnog and...
I'm really excited about that.
I am too. All right. So we covered USBs. We did have a question, didn't we?
We did have a question, and it was an awesome question.
Actually, I wanted to, before we get to the question, I wanted to do a bit of a recount of the party that you had.
Oh, the party.
So Tom threw a part. Tom and Michelle, his wife, they threw a party at their house midweek on Wednesday, I think it was, wasn't it?
Correct.
And it was a party, a Christmas party for all the local wedding photographers. In the Southern Highland area?
It was more like the Illawarra area. So from
Illawarra.
I guess the Wollongong area. So yeah. There were some Southern Highlands people there, yes.
Okay, cool. Yep. Yeah, and so my wife Kat and I, we both attended and it was really good fun. And I mean, for me, there were a few things I took from that opened my eyes, and one is that I thought it was so nice that you can throw a party with all the local wedding photographers and you're all best buds and you're all like, you're all on the same team.
Yeah.
And I think it's so easy, and this is what I experience in New Zealand and I'm trying really hard to break out of, is that you become very insular as a photographer and you see other photographers as your competitors and you're not chummy and friendly with them. Mm. And so for one, it was really, really nice to see that. And, but the other thing for me personally, I've only met maybe two of them before, and there were upwards of, 25, 30 people there.
Yeah, there were 30-something, yeah.
And I had this concern leading up to it, and I was like, how am I going to talk to these people? Because my only kind of like icebreaker is, oh, hey, so you're a photographer? Yeah. And times that by 25? Oh, so what do you do? Photographer. Right. Yeah. And I'm the same. Oh, okay, cool. And then what?
But it was fine, wasn't it?
It was really, really amazing. Yeah. And there was a lot of pizza.
Oh, there was so much pizza. But you're right that I've thought about this many times before, that there's really no need for animosity or like bitchiness between in our profession. Because if you're, let's say, I don't know, you work in HR or you work in some sort of business capacity, you go into an office and you have colleagues that you work with, and you can talk to your colleagues about the problems and you can formulate, you know, ways to deal with things together, and you have that social element, which really, as human beings, is crucial for us. So, if you're a sole trader, if you're say a wedding photographer, if you don't have that, if you don't have that friendship with your peers and your colleagues, you're feeling like a total lone wolf. Because on the wedding day, you are a lone wolf. Like, yes, you make friends with the bridal party and you make friends with the bride and groom, and I know that you and I are the same in that respect. Like, by the end of the wedding, we are mates with some of the people who are there, and we put a lot of effort into that. But ultimately, we're still a lone wolf, just doing our own thing. And I don't know. I find that the friendships that I have with the other wedding photographers are so crucial to my sanity. Mm. And it does end up being, it's not a negative scenario. It's not like we're not competitors, even though we kind of are. Where we refer work to each other and we bounce ideas off each other. So yeah, it's very, very important, and I'm very grateful for that community. So yeah, I think like to take it back to you, it's a really good thing to establish in your area as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm. It's something that I have started doing about 6 months ago. You just start getting in touch with people, and Facebook's so good like that when you have a Facebook group with a whole bunch of photographers. But I'd say my takeaway from spending that time at the party and meeting all those people was definitely that you don't want to see other people as competition. You want to see them as colleagues.
Yeah.
You want to get on board with them and meet them in person, and then you know you can refer work to people. You actually, you know, you can say, I know this person and I know they do a good job. Yeah, it was really, really nice. And am I right in saying that it was Paul that started that a long time ago? He was kind of the instigator?
Young Paul Pennell. He did. He kind of brought us all together, and he erased any traces of like that's my competition. And he brought us all together, and now, with his Welsh humor and accent, he's quite the funny lad, that Paul. I mean, I don't understand what he says half the time, but you know.
But it's funny stuff.
Legend. Yeah.
And it was Paul who asked this question.
Oh, I mean, this is such a good question, and I think you and I could really go on about this for a long time, couldn't we?
Yeah, should we just jump in? Just
jump in, mate. You hit it. Go for it.
Hang on. I'll read it verbatim. Should I read it verbatim?
Okay. I used to think that was pronounced verbatim.
Verbatim? Verbatim. Was the first time you saw that word on a floppy disk?
Sure was.
Really?
And I only really realized why they were called that like a year ago. I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Why?
Well, because you can back things up verbatim, as in exactly as they are somewhere else. Did you just realize that?
No. I thought you meant floppy disk.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wow. Yeah, no. Because they're not really floppy, are they? Well, some of them are.
I think that maybe the inside of the disc is floppy.
That is true.
And then there's the hard outer coating, outer shell.
Shell.
But verbatim, yes, you're quite right. But it's a huge company, isn't it? Verbatim.
It
they
is
do
massive.
What,
although
data?
I don't really see much of them anymore. Maybe
no, do you think that they were like absorbed by some other company?
Apple.
Apple. I was going to say SanDisk or one of those.
Yeah. That
would. Okay. Wait. Where is this? This is so unprofessional.
I can tell you where it is if you need, I think. Snapping.
Good filler.
Yeah.
I cannot find it for the life of me.
That's the Snapping theme song. Snapping. Oh, you know where it was? It was on my business page.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
which I'm going to now. Okay. Here we go. Do you want me to read it?
Yes, you may.
Okay. after saying, is that Owen Wilson with you there, Thomas? Which, you know what? In that photo, you do look a little bit like Owen Wilson. I think it's that chiseled jaw.
Chiseled jaw.
Yeah.
I have, people have made that connection before. I'm not going to lie. There's one particular photo of me. It was my profile picture where, it's pretty scary how similar. It's just in a certain angle with certain lighting, and if my hair's a certain way, I do look like Owen Wilson.
You know who I look like in certain angles?
Mm.
50 Cent.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Like if you were...
when the lights are off.
I was going to say, if you were locked in some sort of wardrobe and someone else was in there and they maybe a 50 Cent music was playing.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah, that's right. Yeah. Hey, yeah. I can't find Paul's comment. It's not there. Oh, wow.
Okay, let's summarize. It was this has taken the long. I'm gonna anyway. Paul just wanted to know what kind of lenses we use, basically, didn't he?
And I think he specifically said for certain things. So like,
oh, I see.
Like what would we use for this, or what would we use for this, or whatever. So, but yes, that was pretty much it.
Well, should we start with what we have in common? I think.
Yeah,
that sounds good. I can tell. Okay, so straight away, I used to have a 70-200, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is before I shot any weddings. Mm-hmm. I had a 70-200, and I loved that lens. Mm-hmm. So sharp.
2.8 jack of all trades.
It was a 4. But I knew the 2.8 was there. I took it traveling, and plus 2.8 was probably too expensive for me back in those days.
If you look at a lot of the websites that do the actual scientific testing of lenses, which who cares about those? But anyway, the 70-200 f/4 IS, the Canon lens, is allegedly one of the sharpest and most amazing lenses that Canon makes. Like, yep, better than the 2.8, which is that's what I used to have, and I used to love it.
Yeah, for traveling, that f/4 is just absolutely amazing. But I went through this phase where I was obsessed with aperture. I wanted to go the largest aperture. So I found out that there was a 1.35 f/2, and I worked out that that's pretty much exactly in the middle of 70-200. And mm-hmm. so all on my own, without talking to anyone else, I sold the 70-200 and bought a 1.35 and just loved it.
You never looked back.
I still own that same first. I bought a new one since. I have two now, but the same 1.35 that I bought maybe 7 years ago.
Wow.
And then we started chatting.
Yep.
And you told me that you had a 35mm 1.4, and I just went, oh. 1.435.
Is that the first time that you really heard about that lens?
Well, yeah. I mean, wow. I would have seen it. Like, I knew about all of Canon's lenses, but I never considered it as an option for me because I was just like, oh, I don't know. I didn't really have a nice wide angle lens. So anyway, I just I bought the Sigma, the 35 1.4, because it just came out. It was like brand new.
Nice.
And so that sort of laid the foundation for me, 35 and then a 1.35. And I mean, the 1.35 is just amazing.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
And then all I had is an older 20mm Canon for, you know, when the 35 just isn't wide enough, a 20 is just going to smash anything.
Yeah.
But just to finish the story, now I have a brand new 1.35. The 35 I still own, but I'm probably after this season, I'll get a Canon 35, just because they are basically the best you can get.
They're amazing, yeah.
The new Mark II. Yeah. And now I also, the 20mm I've retired, and I got a 16-35 f/4, which I actually bought as a travel lens because I'm going to the States and I'm doing tornado chasing. And when you want to take a photo of the sky, I learned last time I went, you just need the widest lens possible. Yeah. So 16-35. Yeah, but... surprisingly enough, I've used that at every wedding since.
It's been
amazing, yeah. So for dance floor shots.
Dance floor, yeah.
Yeah, dance floor and any group shot where you're in a tight spot, it's just awesome, fantastic. So that lays the foundation of my lenses.
Okay.
What about you?
Oh, okay. So, well, I mean, yeah, the story, I don't even remember how I got to these lenses, but... So I use four lenses, that's all. excuse me. The 24 1.4, that's the Sigma Art. I also have the Canon 24 1.4, the L, but it's notoriously bad with autofocus. And my version of it, I've kind of destroyed. I've dropped it a few times. I was at a wedding and I accidentally spilt hot candle wax all over the front element. I was in Canada shooting and I stood on it accidentally. I have not been good to that lens, but it still works. That is a beast, that lens. So that lens at, say, 5.6 and smaller, so 5.6 to f/11 or whatever, that lens is fantastic. But I can't trust it for anything wider open than 5.6. Okay. So So I have the Sigma, which I use at every wedding. I have the Canon 35 1.4 Mark II, which is, a phenomenal lens.
People just rave about that lens now. Like, whenever a new review comes out, they just...
It's incredible.
It's the best.
I saw a comparison last week. Someone I know did a side-by-side with the Sigma, and they said that they prefer the contrast and the color from the Sigma. But like those sort of things, like, I don't know, every person's going to have a different opinion about that sort of stuff. Like, I think as far as autofocus goes, the Canon is probably going to be better. And I would say as far as how long it's going to last, I would say the Canon is probably made, I would say, tougher than the Sigma.
It's a tank.
Yeah. Then I have a Sigma 85mm 1.4. Not the new art version, because that has only just come out, and I don't think you can even buy it in Australia yet. I think there's quite a back order. Excuse me, a backlog of them. So I have the non-art version of that, which is a really good lens.
Mentioned in the past, though, that the focusing is not so good? Or
The autofocus is pretty bad. It's pretty jumpy, like... I'll take 4 or 5 shots of the one thing to make sure I get one in focus. And most of them are in focus, but it's let me down on a few occasions. And I would never use servo. I would never use tracking with it. It's just not really very... it's just not very capable like that. But when it hits, it's extremely sharp. So I love that lens. And the 135 is my longest lens. And I've gone through about 4 of them. And I use them all the time. And I use them all day. And I'm just going to add on to those... I'm just going to add on to those lenses by saying this. So for prep, for when the bride and groom are getting ready, I've got 2 cameras on, and I've got 35 on one, 85 on the other. For the ceremony, I've got the 35 on one camera and the 135 on the other. And then I'll do family photos with the 24. For portraits, I'm only using 1 camera body, and I put the other one down. I take my harness off and just have 1 camera with a little shoulder bag, which has... 3 lens pouches, which is an awesome little think tank shoulder bag. So I'm just carrying around 1 camera and the 4 lenses. And then for the reception, I'm generally on the 24 and the 135 with 2 cameras. And that is it. That is this. Oh, and nice. Like a few flashes here and there, but yeah, super simple.
Very, very nice. And for me, it's much easier for me to explain, because I pretty much have... And I've hinted at this before. Hey, tell me, I'll ask you first, what straps have you got?
I use the Holdfast Moneymakers.
Nice. You got a couple of those, haven't
you? I got 2, yeah. And I'm pretty regretful, actually, because I bought leather ones and then I stopped eating meat, and now I want to sell them and get the non-leather ones.
Which you should totally do. There might be some people listening right now that would happily buy those off you.
Actually, that's true. If you want to buy them, let me know.
I used to have the Black Rapid, double straps, which is fantastic. I just found that in the height of last season, I got horrible, horrible shoulder pains just from lugging around, cameras for 12 hours.
That'll do it.
Yeah, and I had to go to like physio and all of that, so proper, proper bad shoulder pain. And so I did a bit of research, and I ended up getting a Spider holster. But this is the Spider dual holster. So this is like a belt, that clips in the middle, and your cameras hang on the sides. Mm-hmm. And since going to that, I've never looked back. Never, ever, ever. The only slight advantage of the Black Rapid was that if I've got one camera to my eye and I'm taking a photo and I think, okay, now I want to switch to my other camera, you can literally drop the camera and it goes down, swings, and while it's swinging, you're grabbing the other camera and lifting it to your eye. That motion is so good. Whereas with my holster, I have to put the camera into the slot, reach, and then grab the other camera.
Yep.
So it's only like half a second difference, but that's all. That's all there is. And once now, I've used it for pretty much a year now, and I can holster the camera without looking. So, I've got that muscle memory. I can just go straight in. I would just suggest, if people are looking at getting one of these, when you holster the camera, you get, there's a little like a metal pin that goes into the slot.
Yeah.
You get it in there, and then you give a little extra push.
Make sure it's in.
Just to really make sure it's definitely in, because I have dropped a camera once on grass, did. And it was totally fine.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Lucky it was on concrete.
I know. It was this one. The th- yeah, I had the 35 Sigma and the lens hood broke. It snapped and came off. That happened like last October, like a year ago in October, and I just glued it back together like last weekend.
Oh, so you've been using no hood for the whole time?
No, I've had the hood on there. It's just it was like this hairline crack, so it had cracked. But actually, I found out when I fixed it, the Sigma has this rubber ring around it that holds the whole thing together as well, around the
hood.
The hood, yeah. Huh. So it didn't matter that it was cracked. It was held together by this rubber ring. So anyway, it's glued and rubber ring. It's all sweet now. It doesn't matter.
Nice.
Yeah. So I have 35 on one hip, 135 on the other hip all day, right the way through.
That's
and
awesome.
I just swap out for the 16 to 35.
When you need it.
Pretty much when I need it, which at the moment is anytime I'm doing like probably like when I'm doing the whole wedding party, like the big group shot, like we talked about last week, I would just flick to the 16 to 35. Pretty much any time now, I've been thinking if I'm not so interested in using f1.4, I'll just flick to the 16 to 35 because I can always crank it out to 35, and I've got the same focal length as my 35 Sigma. And if I'm not going for a shallow depth of field, I just use the F4 because it's a very, very sharp lens. Like, it's amazingly sharp. And that's me.
You never feel like you miss, I think I've asked you this, but you never miss that range somewhere in between 35 and 135? I guess you never know.
I mean,
if you're not used to it, you don't miss it, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I've thought a lot about getting an 85, and I think the way you do it is nice because you know you use the 85 in this situation. So you put the 135 away and get out the 85. Yeah. I know that it would take me a long time to get to that point. I'd be thinking, oh, which should I use?
Yeah,
135, 85. And that indecision would cost me photos. Yeah. Whereas right now, man, I know the 135, and as you do, if I want to get a shot of the makeup getting put on, I just know I have to be back 4 meters.
You exactly know it. Yeah.
To get that nice frame.
There's
you know?
No question. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'll consider getting the new Sigma because I am a fan of Sigma, the 85 1.4. I'll consider that. Mm. But at the same time, like I say, if it's going to mean I'm having to question what to do, it's kind of going to get in the way of my art, my craft.
Totally. So. And I think there's something to be said for minimizing the stuff you take along. Like, if I could, I would take two cameras, two lenses, and I wouldn't touch anything else all day. No flashes or anything. It's like exactly like you said, when you have to ask yourself, what should I use for this situation? The moment may already have gone, or there's just an extra factor that you have to think about. That's personally why I don't like zoom lenses. And I can see why the 16 to 35 is a good thing to have in your kit, you know, especially when you're traveling. But I don't want to have to think, what should I zoom to? I just want to have to think, that's what I see. This is my aperture that I'm going to shoot at because I always shoot at this. Bang, bang, whatever. What's my exposure? Like, if you can take away as many variables as possible, you can really focus on what's happening in front of you.
I agree. I think that it's... I see this in the industry that people are terrified to go with a prime lens because they're saying, well, hang on a minute. I want to cover from 24 to 200.
Yeah.
And so, so many people use a 24 to 70, 70,
200. Oh, man, it's very common.
Very, very common. But straight away, you can't do f1.4. You can't do f2. And f2 at 135 is just so beautiful.
It's the business.
It's the sex.
I was going to say something rude then, yeah. It's amazing.
But the other thing is, as you were saying, taking away that variable and just saying, okay, I have this focal length, 35 mil. You put the camera to your eye and you go, this is what I've got to work with. Mm. Now, how am I going to make it look special, artsy? Mm. I'm going to add my personal touch to this frame. Rather than thinking, oh, I could zoom out. I could zoom in. Yeah. And I think if you can zoom, all your photos end up looking the same because you frame them all exactly the same no matter where you are.
It definitely promotes, I think it promotes laziness, having a zoom. Like, it's so easy just to stand there and just turn the thing and turn the thing.
Yeah.
And it also it also discourages you from searching out moments that are right there. You know, while you're zoomed in over there, there could be something else here. I mean, look, there are arguments for and against, but yeah, I just think...
And we should probably say we're pretty staunchly in favor of primes.
Yeah, yeah, if you haven't realized, yeah. It's cool though. I mean, I know that a lot of photographers do use zooms, but so many use primes now as well. Like so many people, the 35 mm-hmm. and the 50.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they're such common lenses for wedding photographers.
Now, I think the only thing I would add to my lens lineup and when I use lenses is if I have a second shooter with me, which does not happen very often.
Yeah.
But something I've learned is that my second shooter, I always want them to have a long lens.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because this is probably what everyone does.
Yeah.
You want I really want my second shooter to be out of the way.
Yep.
Like hidden in the shadows of a wedding. Yeah. And so a 135 I find is like the minimum. If I could throw I've got two 135s. So at the moment, my second shooter has a 135, and then pretty much any other lens, I've got a little 40 pancake that they can use on their other camera. They could chuck on the 16-30-35. I've got, you know how it is. You have a collection of lenses at home that you don't use that much.
Do you remember when you second shot for me in Australia, and remember what lens I gave you to use?
Yes, I do.
What was it?
It's not so much that the focal length of the lens; it's the dollar value of the lens.
So we borrowed from my friend. It was a 300mm f/2.8, which was like a $8,000 lens or something. Ridiculous. Yeah. Poor
and,
Greg.
I could barely lift it.
So heavy, and there's Greg at this ceremony, and everyone's like, "What is that guy using? Like this, like foot long." Like huge white lens that you basically needed a monopod.
There was a shuttle. There was a shuttle launch on the horizon, and I was capturing that.
It's the best perving lens ever.
And to make things worse, like it could not be whiter, and the hood on it is as long as the lens.
It's massive.
And the case that it came in is this awesome hard case that you open.
Yeah.
Oh man,
not so really good. But practical for weddings, right?
No. We even when I was putting in the car, and then it's like, oh, then you got to worry about where you're going to park the car because the lens is worth more than the car.
I know.
And then it's like, okay, I'm putting it on the sand at a beach.
Yeah, damn it.
This is the least in Australia where I'm just saying there might be some criminals around.
Oh, come on, what? I object to that generalization.
No. So I did not enjoy one moment with that lens.
No,
it was awful to have like around, and then it was awful to use because it was so heavy. But
awful to put away afterwards.
Yeah, no, that was the best part.
Oh yeah.
Oh, you know, there's a fantastic saying. This is a good segue into European cars.
Oh yeah.
That I read this regarding an Audi. Do you know what an Audi All Road is?
Oh, it's like the Audi version of my car.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this is someone wrote this concerning an Audi All Road. That there are the two best days of owning an Audi All Road. the day you buy it and the day you sell it.
Because apparently they're really not very reliable, is that right?
No, yeah. Very thirsty, and they're like the mechanic's dream.
Oh wow. Okay. Hopefully my
So anyway, second shooter, long lens, boom, that's what you want. You want them to be able to be like behind you and getting a nice tight shot on whatever's going on.
This is actually something we could dedicate a good bit of time to this in the future, couldn't we? Second shooters.
In that case, yeah, all right. So we can put down second shooters for we'll mothball that.
Mothball.
Is that what you say?
It can be.
Does that mean we're getting rid of it? I think we'll earmark it. We'll earmark it.
I would have said spitball.
Oh, spitball. But that's when you're like coming up with ideas.
Isn't it? Well, what is spitballing?
I don't know.
We could
definitely take some time to talk about second shooters, although I have a feeling we'll both say, yeah, we don't use them.
Yeah, pretty sure. But it would be good for us to explain why we don't, I think.
Yeah, fair enough.
Anyway.
Jolly good. All right. So, hey, you're on holiday pretty much. Just got to get you through your queue, and then you can have some eggnog with me.
Oh, well, I will still have a queue by the time we have eggnog, but that's okay. But yeah, this week I'll be editing, I'll be chilling, riding my bike, reading my book. I'm reading such a good book right now.
Tell me, very quickly.
It is called The Name of the Wind. And the dude is called, I think it's Patrick Rothfuss. I'm just checking it for you. Ready? Name of the Wind by... Okay, it's The King Killer Chronicle, book one. The Name of the Wind by Patrick Rothfuss. And it is a... I'm not gonna hide the fact that I'm an absolute nerd. So I love fantasy books. Like, it's all dragons and magicians and wizards and, you know, like epic journeys through cold lands. So I'm going to read that. And yeah, man, I'm just really mow the lawns and just do home stuff.
Regular summertime stuff.
What's your plan this week?
Our plan is just to explore Sydney. Like, I've never really lived in Sydney before. So yeah, we want to head out to the Blue Mountains for a couple of days, maybe take the tent and do a bit of a camp out there.
Cool.
And yeah, other than that, just enjoy Sydney. Oh, was that right? Hang on, we just might go.
I'm going to lead you into it. Prematurely horned you.
Ooh. Okay, I'm going to lead you into a correct timing horn. Ready? So, are you ready? Have you got your finger on the horn?
I'm ready.
Thinking about going camping at the Blue Mountains. Oh yeah.
Oh.
Ooh.
That was like a shipping large ship.
I knew it. Yeah, man. So just exploring and
hey, Greg, watch
the
out.
Week, and then oh,
what have you done this time,
it's
Greg?
Fuzz. It's the 5-0.
The LAPD come to arrest you.
and then New Year's is just around the corner, and it's like boom.
Oh yeah, New Year's, right? Oh, wow, so many things to think about.
Okay, brah. Well,
cool, man.
If that is it for the day, I guess all I want to say is to people listening out there. A good friend of mine said that in order to be successful, you've got to get out there and make it snappin'.
Yes.
Bravo, Tom. Bravo,
nice.
Tom.
I nailed that one.
All right, champ. I will see you in a week.